This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go, let's go, come on.
Let's be clear. Shrine of Duty.
You are being interviewed today as a witness, not as a suspect.
The official, unofficial podcast.
My team will get to the root of anything.
Shrine of Duty.
Hello and welcome to episode 2 of Shrine of Duty, the officially unofficial Line of Duty podcast. I'm Rebecca.
I'm Hannah.
And I'm Brendan.
And now, lads, when we started this podcast now, we thought maybe the parents would listen. Maybe two of our friends. We
guilting
sure.
A few people, a few colleagues. That was it.
But mother of God, we've had a bit of an eventful week.
In the words of Ted Hastings.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. Is that what he said?
He did say that.
Yeah.
So episode 1 of Line of Duty, season 5, aired on Sunday night, right? We're going to delve into all of the details about that in a few minutes. But first, I need to chat to you guys about two huge things that happened this week. Our first BBC legal letter and our first BBC interview. Brendan, elaborate.
So, surprised so many people listen to the podcast. At one point, we were number one in the TV and film category of Apple Podcasts.
Guys, we were underneath the high-low, Dolly Alderton's the high-low there.
They're iconic.
They were on like a world tour. I nearly died.
So that was shocking. And then the next shocking thing that happened was we got a very, very, very nice email. To be fair, it was really like phrased lovely. But you'll have noticed if you listened to the podcast, the last one, that it was up naked, as we put it. We had to take our intro and outro off because we were a little bit bold and there was a little bit of the theme tune music from the show in it.
Yeah. We all work in the same office and Brendan works on the floor below us. And when I say he flew up the stairs.
Oh, I could hear your footsteps. I was like, he's coming up.
All he said was from about 10 feet across the room was, legal have been in touch. And I went, oh, Jesus, that's us gone now. The BBC want to shut down. We're after insulting someone. But no, we just ripped off the composer. Yeah. So we're sorry.
Excellent theme song, by the way.
Yeah, excellent. So we had to take that down, but it's all back up again now and legally binding.
And Brendan, what did the first line of the email say? I nearly got sick.
It said the composer
Hi,
has...
we're the producers of Line of Duty.
Yeah, hi, we're the producers of Line of Duty. And they were so nice about it.
They
first
were
of
gorgeous.
All,
really polite.
Like, I should have been like scared of the email going, you've done something wrong. But I was actually just thrilled that they'd listened, to be honest.
I can't believe that they've listened.
And not only them, the composer of the theme tune had listened as well.
So that was Friday,
it's rectified
right?
Now.
So Saturday came and went.
That was as exciting as I thought it was ever going to get.
Oh yeah.
More exciting than I'd ever thought it was going to get.
My
yeah.
hands are
riveting.
Already thinking about it.
Honestly, it was like a Line of Duty finale episode, right? Then we got to Saturday evening now, the three of us, all very sociable people. I was out for dinner.
I was out in the pub, but I mean, when are we ever all out at 8 o'clock on a Saturday? Very social people. Would you stop? That was a rarity now. And I just thought we all just happened to be out. And what happened?
On Saturday evening, we got an email to say, hi, I'm a producer at the BBC. Would you like to come on to Radio 5 Live and talk about Line of Duty and your podcast tomorrow morning?
Like, I nearly fell off the chair in the restaurant. Like, I shot up. I ran out. I had no signal in the restaurant. I was ringing both of you. Couldn't get an answer.
Yeah, hole in the wall on the Navan Road. I screamed it down when I found out. We were all ringing each other and oh, it was so exciting.
So that email resulted in me being on BBC Radio 5 Live at before 8 a.m. on Sunday morning.
So early.
Haven't been
Oh,
out.
And the clocks went forward as well.
The clocks
so it was
forward.
Actually like 7 a.m. or 6 a.m.
Really 7 a.m.
Yeah.
So it resulted in me being live on the BBC with a low-key hangover. And they also asked me at the last minute to go on FaceTime.
No.
That they could see me and share the video on their social media channels. I wasn't prepared for that. I was in bed thinking, sure, I could just do this from my bed over the phone. I had to run out of bed, throw a top on, find a suitable backdrop in my house somewhere. And so I was live on 5Live in my boxer shorts.
640,000 Twitter fans they have, Brendan.
You looked great. Like, if that had been myself or Hannah, there would have been an eyelash falling off one of us.
Meanwhile,
I mean?
In my house, I was up like 10 to 8. I was recording Brendan's audio like a true friend. And it was 5 to 8, right? And he wasn't on and they were talking about a really serious topic. I think it was alcoholic parents. And I said, right, they're going to go to the news and they're going to have Brendan on afterwards. So I ran into the loo, but I brought the laptop with me just in case. And obviously I'm sitting on the loo and who do I hear? Brendan O'Loughlin's gorgeous voice booming out of BBC 5. Live and I had to listen to your interview on the loo, Brendan.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Anyway, guys.
Mad, but what a fun week. Great.
Absolutely. And thanks to everybody who listened to us because, I mean, we honestly really didn't expect it.
Yeah.
Like more than three listens, I would have been chuffed.
Absolutely.
Now, let's get down to business.
For the purposes of the tape, here is a recap of season 5, episode 1. And I'll just start by saying that season 5, episode 1 of Line of Duty was watched by 7.8 million people.
Incredible.
To put that into context, Derry Girls, that we love, really popular on Netflix, 1.8 million. That's their highest. And the final episode of Bodyguard was 14.3. So they're up in iconic levels of TV viewing now. Okay. We're going to get into the recap. So season 5, episode 1 opens in Eastfield Police Storage Facility where a team of coppers are loading a white van. Coppers? Yeah. Are loading a white van with a container labelled ED905 and head for an incinerator. DS Jane Cafferty, played by Cian Reese-Williams, stops the convoy when she sees a woman who turns out to be Lisa McQueen, played by Rashinda Sandell, banging on the window of a crashed car for her baby who's trapped inside. When Cafferty halts the convoy to help McQueen, it's revealed that the baby is a plastic doll or a brat, as Rebecca referred to it, and the officers are ambushed. Three officers are gunned down and killed immediately. Cafferty is shot in the leg but is still alive. And sorry, the van driver escapes without a scrape. So
every hair on my body stood up when she opened that car door. And
saying
we saw that there wasn't a baby
and
in it.
And even though we had seen it in the trailer during the week last week, it didn't make it any less
gripping, shocking, appalling.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that is the first time we meet crime boss John Corbett, a.k.a. Stephen Graham, a.k.a. Bay. He asks McQueen to finish Cafferty off. She lies and claims she's already dead. The gang escape with the white van to a nearby barn and it is revealed that the container was filled with 10 million euro worth of heroin. And that's before we even get to the credits. So that's straight in season 5, back
Boom.
With a bang. I'm sweating thinking about it again. So that was brilliant. We saw that during the week. Okay. In AC12 headquarters, Kate briefs Hastings on the ambush. He says, mother of God, presumes there must have been a leak and puts Kate and Steve on the case. Now, I want to talk about this for a second. Kate has been promoted to DI. Steve calls Kate mom.
Woo, well done.
Yeah.
First of all, well done.
Yeah. Well done, Kate. I missed that happening. When did that happen? Did we see that happen?
He's sitting
down. So quick. He's sitting down and she says, can you open a case file? And he says, yes, mom.
I remember that happening, but when did she get promoted?
I don't know. Must have been in between.
Yeah, because she was rewarded for her role with the Dot situation with the
caddy. Sergeant, I think.
Yeah, so she's kind of ahead of Steve in the game of career ladders as they go.
But she is a DI now, so I don't know if we... Now, maybe that mom was an indication of her promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it was an indication of maybe there's a bit of coldness between them,
mm-hmm.
or as I think it is an indication that she is going to be interviewing him at some stage and he has to be interviewed by a ranking, an officer, at least one rank above
rank
him and I think that's what that was.
That's just Jed setting that up in the first 5 minutes.
They normally just go mate, 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 mate.
Yeah, and it was very clearly mom. And I'm so smug that I picked up on that. I just want to get that out there so I can come back and do "And I Told You So" in a couple of episodes. Okay. Kate and Steve interviewed Jane Cafferty in hospital. Cafferty says she was doing her duty as a police officer as there was an immediate threat to life, and tells them to look at the lorry driver as a leak. However, Steve confirms he didn't know the plan until minutes before. So we're kind of told to disregard his connection. I'm having absolutely none of that. He's coming back.
I think that they brushed that situation under the carpet because Malhotra, he kind of comes in and he takes the blame. But I think Jane might come back into it. It's very similar to that of Lindsay Denton.
Yeah, I agree.
Iconic.
There's a lot of callbacks to the Lindsay Denton ambush and the whole thing, but I think he's doing that on purpose. So Kate and Steve claim that whoever was leaking information knew that Cafferty was a parent, implying that you'd be more likely to stop for this stupid plastic baby kind of game. Cafferty then reveals that McQueen spared her. So we're in the gang HQ now with John Corbett and McQueen. McQueen reveals to John that Cafferty didn't die because there's a news report, and she kind of cops that he's going to hear that only three officers are dead, not four, and promises to make it up to him.
Yeah.
Back in AC12, PC Manit Binger, played by Maya Sandhi, is working on the case, looking in to everyone with knowledge of the planned convoy. We then meet new PC Tatleen Sahoto, played by Taj Atwell, who finds another crime where a plastic doll was used. However, when Steve and Kate try and check the case file, it's blocked. So, Steve and Kate visit a mysterious police services building in search of my new favourite queen, DSU Alison Powell.
Love her. From the second I saw her.
Yeah, I think she's dodgy.
So do I.
That's why I like her.
I just think she's so dodgy. I'm like, what are you doing? And then like her and Ted seem to know each other. Oh. I don't know what's going on.
So she is played by Susan Vidler, whose name keeps coming up in association with the blocked files. And when they reach her office, Hastings is already there in a gorgeous new coat.
That's like the time that they went to, was it Fairbank?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Ted arrived at the house and the Masonic handshake.
That handshake.
Speaking of Ted's new coat though, lads.
Absolutely.
The hair, makeup and wardrobe budget through the roof for
Steve's
season 5.
Steve's waistcoat as well.
Yeah, fits him like an absolute glove. So Powell refuses to disclose the details of the blocked case file, claiming AC12 have stumbled on an extremely sensitive operation. She does, however, confirm there is a UCO or undercover officer involved, but refuses any more details. Then she watches the AC12 trio ominously from a window as they leave, and Kate and Steve resume.
That shot did kind of make me laugh. Yeah, she's lurking like.
And then Kate and Steve have a quick conversation where they presume that the UCO, and we are going to be using the line of duty acronyms, I think it's only
fair,
that the UCO is the female who spared Cafferty's life. Now, are you still with me? We're about 4 minutes into the show.
Yeah.
With you.
Okay. John McQueen and the gang, which includes Ryan Pilkington, the bike brat from season one, played by Gregory Piper.
I completely missed that until I watched it the second time.
And guys, here's a juicy bit of info for you. I was dying to tell you. Me and Rebecca have been talking about this all day, that we have little bits of info for each other, but we've been saving it. A guy called Miroslav, played by Tommy May, is in John Corbett's gang. He is the guy, Brendan, you're going to die, who was running Jackie Laverty's salon in season
one. My. Ah, great spot. Did you spot that or did you read that online?
Not. Credit to Matthew James in the LOD Facebook group.
Wow.
Isn't that brilliant?
Jackie is getting rolled out of that freezer.
Oh, in bits and pieces. She was in about four parts in that fridge.
God love her.
God of her. No, should to herself. Credit to Matthew James for that. So then we meet some scary guys in a warehouse, one of them being Slater. And the heroine is revealed to have originally belonged to that scary second gang. So the two groups attempt to strike a deal where it is just so strikingly obvious how short Stephen Graham is, but it still doesn't take away.
Oh my God, I wasn't expecting you to
say that.
It
doesn't take away from my feelings for him. He's a married man. I wouldn't do anything, but I just want to put that out there. Back in AC12, Tatleen rats out me to Steve for not investigating Officer Vihan Malhotra, played by Manu. Now, I am sorry, but I think his second name is Tiara. T-H-I-A-R-A. Tiara.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. He knew about the drugs convoy, and Manit didn't put his name up. So Kate and Steve interview him, and this is where Vihan says he needs a glass of water and absolutely legs it out of the office. They catch him, arrest him on the spot, and it's revealed that Steve has a very sore back.
That was one of the funniest moments of Line of Duty ever, when he said he needed a glass of water and he legged it. I can't tell you how much pleasure I got out of picking a gif for tweeting that out on Sunday night. I was honestly crying laughing. It's almost as funny as that scene that you guys were telling me about last week that I forgot about.
The coffee.
Of Dot and Kate meeting in the lane in season, I think it's season 3. And Dot's trying to not act dodgy, and then Kate leaves
and he mills his full coffee up against
the wall. Coffee cup into the wall. Like, I mean, imagine if Kate turned around and he just fucked the coffee cup at something.
Yeah, I have so many issues with that. Like one, she really could have turned around. She was gone about a millisecond. Did he not want his coffee? They're expensive.
Like, just because you're evil doesn't mean you don't need to pick me up. Like, anyway, that was a complete side note. I had to proceed. I'm
now, in the next scene, we get a look inside both officers' homes. And Rebecca, I was wet myself when I watched this. We do get a look at Kate's kitchen.
I know. It's gorgeous, by the way.
Twitter husband and son, she only gives him a kiss on the cheek, so I wouldn't be too. People are like, oh, they're back together, they're back. I don't know.
No, more to come there, I'd say.
I think she's only visiting the son, I don't know. And Steve ghosts his own wife on fake Tinder. So that was gas.
Oh, just back to Steve's back for a second. I think, again, there's groundwork being laid with the mam and his back being sore. That's all going to play into
And another worry I have for Steve, he is chewing painkillers in that scene in his house.
Oh my God.
I'm a little bit stressed. Are they giving him an addiction? Is he going to crumble in this season? Do you get me?
Yeah.
We asked Ghost his own wife on fake Tinder. They used a photo of Martin Compton's real life wife and dog for that scene, which is very cute.
So cute.
But he ignores her and throws the phone on the couch, so maybe not so cute. The next day...
Sorry, we're so giddy today.
The next day in AC12 HQ, Kate and Steve interview Malhotra again. He's back, chained to the desk.
Thirsty again.
They have connected...
Need another glass of water.
Yeah, strapped down. They've connected 25 grand and a burner phone to him.
Sorry.
Yeah, guys,
I spent hours. He did peg it at the door.
Bolt. And you know what? One of my favourite things to do, go back and pause it when he bolts and just watch Steve... Now, I mean, Mills, the inside of the top of his tie off the corner of that table when he's running to get him, I'd say he was absolutely in bits.
I also love the reaction of the woman standing at the bus stop outside when they pinned him to the footpath.
Guys, I'm not going to lie.
I took that moment for your joke to have a slurp of tea and came back out.
Guys, they weren't that quick at catching him, were they?
he was going very fast.
Yeah, no, he did.
Anyway, sorry, go on, Hannah.
No, please. Okay, so they've connected Malhotra to 25 grand in a burner phone and suggested an OCG, which is an organised crime gang or group, bribed him for info on the convoy. Now, he has such a sad face, doesn't he? Like, he's a real, like when he's telling the story about the bribery and how someone rang him for, I just felt so sad.
Yeah, it's really sad. It's awful.
So he admits that he was scammed and blackmailed by McQueen. And then he says some confusing stuff about AC12 protecting one of their own. John forces McQueen to finalise a deal with Slater's gang in order to prove herself. That kind of flashes in. And then we're back with Manit. So she's brought in for an AC12 interview. And we learn that Malhotra is in fact her cousin. And she purposely buried the link to him. However, he ratted her out for supplying AC12 files to Hilton, who killed himself at the end of season 4. Put a little asterisk in there. We're coming back to that later on.
Okay.
For a hot theory.
Okay.
In return for his silence about Malhotra's gang connections. And that is when Ted looks very disappointed and said, you work with someone, you take them at their word, more fool me. It is devastating.
That hit me so hard when he said that. He was like, he wasn't angry, he was disappointed.
Yeah, and he got up and left. Yeah. So Monique claims that Hilton blackmailed her. She says she took early maternity leave to escape him. Hastings then storms out and tries to fire her. Afterwards, he calls a meeting with the whole of AC12 and claims that H has been revealed as Hilton and offers to put his card behind the bar that night so everyone can have drinks to celebrate. However, Kate is not convinced. She throws some dodgy looks as she walks towards the lift, and he does his cute little smile that's now been made into my favourite gif on the internet.
That shot was a bit too long, that smile, wasn't it? Jed working his magic.
Yeah, and just before Kate disappears, she tells Steve they need to uncover that UCO to confirm Hastings' claims. What do you think about that so far?
I thought Ted's smile through the window, it kind of made me laugh in a bit like your man legging it for the glass of water. It was just a real kind of goofy grin. He was just
brilliant.
Like,
he was like, I'm not evil.
I didn't think it was sinister. I didn't see anything sinister in it.
Oh, Kate's look was sinister though, in terms of Kate's
a professional detective, I'm not.
Yeah, Kate's super suspicious, and I don't think it was sinister, but I think was a fake.
Yeah.
There's something in that smile.
Or is he just happy with his team doing a great job?
Absolutely not.
No, not having any of that. Okay, where are we? Manit visits Malhotra in prison. He apologises and she begs him to come clean to AC12. He refuses and asks her for help. She makes a suspicious phone call in a phone booth, and minutes later, a new little shit on a bike drops a burner phone at her feet, and we've come full circle with Ryan from season one. She's brought to McQueen and attempts to strike a deal. Information for Malhotra's safety in prison, but McQueen has another idea. Later, now, Jesus, right?
Right.
My nerves were gone this bit, and I only copped it on the second watch. Hastings makes a phone call and McQueen's phone rings.
Yeah.
Please tell me that that is just fantastic editing.
Oh my God, I didn't cop that at all. I kept thinking, who did he ring? I kept going, who did he ring?
The scene cuts. She's driving. Her phone is on the passenger seat and it rings. She looks over at it. Now I pause it. You can't see who's calling, no number, no name, nothing. And she doesn't answer it, and he kind of looks at it and hangs up.
I think it was made too obvious for it to be him.
Possibly. So that is out on the road. Then he heads back into the Edge Park Hotel. Now, the camera hovered on the name of that hotel for a second, so I included it because I felt that it was making it very obvious that we had to look at it.
Okay.
Where he has a broken toilet and an overdue bill. it also hovered on when the receptionist was
typing the information into the screen.
Now, I paused it and had a look at it. The information, God love Ted, is his overdue bill, the fact that the toilet is broken, but also that his full name is Edward, but I mean, we kind of got that anyway, that he's staying in room 336 and that he's there for 2 more weeks. So I just said, I take down that information because they seem to want us to think about it.
Poor Ted, not a penny to spend and nowhere to spend a penny.
Now, Ted's having an absolute mare. If the broken toilet wasn't bad enough, he's upstairs with a framed photo of his wife in the room staring at divorce papers. So he's having an absolute shocker.
Poor Ted.
Yeah, poor Ted. The room's in bits as well. We then see armed police. It is
not. It's a room.
Nah, it's not. It is. It's in bits.
We then see armed police. We see an armed police raid in Slater's warehouse. They arrest the gang, and outside, a white van filled with heroin is parked. Steve watches Slater's interview with his ex-girlfriend Sam. He's played by Aisha Hart. Now, I'm also putting an asterisk here because Slater is interviewed by what's his name, Les Hargreaves. People of the internet think that he is H. So I have some theories, and we're going to come back to that in Brendan's theory corner later on. So they're working for a serious crime, and Steve figures out that Slater was set up, and the AC-12-3 head back to Pell's office. Manita is pulled into a van by two of John's men. John finds a bug in her SIM card and says, there's only one thing worse than a bent copper, and that's a bent copper who pretends she isn't. And that is the moment that I realised that he was the UCO. Did you guys cop it?
No, so myself and Hannah watched this together. You copped it. If you weren't sitting beside me and said, it's him, I wouldn't have copped it until
you go back into our WhatsApp group, you'll see that I actually wrote into the group that it was him.
Now, yeah.
Did you?
Rebecca had it at the start of the episode. I had it at that point, and poor little Brandon hadn't a clue what was going
Tick on. Tick in the corner.
Tick in the corner. So Kate, Steve, Hastings and his coat are back in DSU Pell's office. He gives her a right dressing down and she caves, reveals...
that sounded kind of sexy, didn't it?
And she reveals Operation Pear Tree, embed a UCO in an organised crime group. That's where Hastings asks her if she's been in contact with the UCO, and that's when we get... Now listen, Alison, I didn't float up the lagging on a bubble. My favourite line that anyone's ever said in a TV programme.
Ever.
Ever.
Ever. She confesses she lost comms with the UCO, not days, don't tell me months, Alison, months ago. That's when we find out that the UCO is not Lisa McQueen, but as Reb called it, DS John Corbett. And she swings the computer around and there we are staring at Stephen Graham.
And you two have called it and I was genuinely shocked.
And Brendan nearly collapsed on the ground onto the new cowskin rug. In the last scene, Manit is brought. Now, if you didn't realise this, the same dock where Hilton's body was discovered.
Yes, she is lying on the same dock where his body was discovered.
No, brand new information.
There we go. I actually have more information while I keep it for theories later on.
Yeah.
Okay, so just another asterisk of that. In season 4 episode... Oh yeah, no, we'll leave that. Okay. Blah, blah, blah. Same body, throat slit. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and that was it. And then it ended.
Yeah. So...
And Manit Binger bled out into the water.
We will discuss further in Thoughts and Theories.
Thoughts and Theories.
First up, though, it's most shocking moment. Now, guys, there was a good few killer moments in that first episode. It was an incredible episode from start to finish. The start was at the edge of my seat. By the end, I mean, I didn't know what to think. Even though I suspected it to be John, that he was the undercover officer, I still felt at the edge of my seat. And when she turned around that computer at the end, my God, right. So, few shocking moments. The brat of a fake baby at the start. The return of Ryan from season 1, you bent bastard. Steve's real life wife and dog popping up on the dating app. Gorgeous. That was really cute. Vihan asking for the glass of water and begging it.
I think that was my favourite moment of the whole episode.
Ever. Manit's gruesome end, horrific throat slit by members of the OCG.
Gruesome.
And she was left where Hilton was found dead. That's what I wrote down in
my notes. Like, my man would have been scared by this. And Line of Duty originally started out at being aimed at kind of an older age group. That would have... My poor mother's probably terrified.
Yeah, they didn't even cut away when they did the...
Oh, no. And her blood's dripping into the water at the very end of the episode. It was harrowing.
And it was red and blue. Did you notice? I was like, that's like police lights. Oh, I was very proud of my observations this week.
So it has to be, artistic. For me, the most shocking moment was when we found out about Stephen Graham's character, John Corbett, that he's the undercover officer, he's gone rogue, and it all had been pointing to Lisa McQueen.
Is he gone rogue, though? Is he? Or is he so into it?
It's being made really obvious that that Lisa is feeling uncomfortable. You know, she didn't kill that officer at the start. She's shaking, her hand's shaking when she's talking to your man.
Yeah.
She's hyperventilating when they take away Manit. You know, she doesn't want to be there. And I have a theory, right? Which I know we're going into theories. But I think that John and Lisa could be working together because there was one line in the episode that really stuck to me. And she said, I'm just going to find this line now. She said, we're getting into business with bad people.
Yes.
And he said, we are bad people.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I loved that bit.
And I just kept thinking, were you both in the police force? Did you both turn rogue? Is one of you still trying to be good? Is the other one completely evil? I think that we should watch that space a bit.
But I'm wet myself at the fake Line of Duty police if they put two undercover officers into a crime gang in order to stop crime. And now two of their own are running one of the biggest drugs gangs in the country is absolutely stupid.
And
it?
this brings us perfectly on to our thoughts and theories. And I did read online as well that some people think that Stephen Graham's character has been so embedded into the underworld of crime that he could still actually be doing an undercover operation. But I don't know if that could be so. I mean, you can't really kill people that ruthlessly and still kind of be one of the good guys, can you?
Also, I just want to open the conversation of Powell, right? It's Alison, isn't her first name, Alison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was like, no, 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 I'm not telling you a bleeding thing. No, get out. Like, really suspicious office. No signs up. No names. Case files blocked. All they had to do was come back and visit her twice. Ted Hastings throws her a few looks and there we go, Operation Pear Tree. So I'm wondering, is she lying to them?
Or is she like, being so cagey because who polices the police, the police, the police? Is she investigating Hastings?
Brendan, how many times did you practice saying that sentence from the lead before you came
honestly,
in?
Honestly, that just came to me right there.
Yeah, that's a really good
I know
point.
You don't believe me, but yeah.
Brendan, so what other theories do you have?
Okay, so we leave like a few people have like emailed us with theories. So this one comes from Martin Astley. Having watched the first episode, it made me wish the second episode was tonight, not next week. Yes. Episode one was typical Mercurio. We already have 2 to 3 possible suspects and the dust has not even settled on the episode yet. Stephen Graham was superb and yeah. It was the usual top rate performance from Messrs. McClure and Comston. Roll on episode 2. Lynn also sent us an email. She is really intrigued to hear what we and everyone else made it the first episode. Lots to discuss, but one thing which occurred to Lynn, and she hopes she's wrong, is that Kate and perhaps also her child will find themselves in danger at some point in the series. Monique showed Kate a video of her child, and that child is now without a mother. Is Monique dead, though?
Monique has 2 children, and no, she's actually not confirmed dead. We don't know if she's dead. It's not looking great.
We don't know that she's dead. However, Martin Compson did tweet after the episode and he said, huge spoiler, Line of Duty gutted to lose one of AC12's shadiest and finest.
Yeah, fair enough. So
And he tweeted her Maya Sandy.
Lynn also says the opening scene involved a fake child in peril. There also seems to be a theme of mothers and children. I feel there must be a reason why we saw Kate's son. Was it to raise the stakes with the audience if Kate is put in danger? Or please, please let me be wrong, will her son be threatened by the OCG?
That's a fantastic observation.
Made my head hurt a little trying to keep up. Side point was so engrossed in the action, it took me a good 10 minutes to twig that Steve Arnott wasn't in a wheelchair.
Oh, love, we're all there with you. Yeah, it takes me 10 minutes to twig anything, to be honest.
Absolutely. There was one, you know, way this season Jed said that they are delving into the personal lives of the three main characters. The stark contrast between Steve popping all the painkillers, lonely, looking on dating apps and alone in his apartment, Ted sitting alone in a hotel room, and then Kate in her house with her husband and child. It just seemed to be very, it just really stood out for me. It was too happy. And that's why I agree with that email that we got in. I do think that Kate could be in trouble this season.
Do you ever think Kate and Steve are going to hook up?
Oh, I think about it sometimes, yeah.
I'd absolutely love that.
No, I'd be devastated.
What? No, yeah, just one raunchy scene.
No, I don't know. I don't want that to happen.
No, I'm there for that.
Oh, I'm here. Pass the popcorn.
No. Yeah.
And it's gorgeous new beard.
A few more observations from people. Oh, can we just give a shout out to Steve, by the way?
Steve Wright from Birmingham.
We have a Twitter fan called Steve Wright and he is the nicest, most helpful, he's just there for us.
He's our Ted Hastings.
Yeah, and we're there for him.
Yeah. So Steve gave us loads of helpful tips during the week, including that last week. So what did you say earlier? You said you might have an I told you so moment.
Yeah.
Last week's podcast. Now, I got it a little bit wrong, but I said that Bindra could be H. She obviously wasn't H, but she turned out to be...
Have a bigger role
Have
to
a
play.
Much bigger role than Absolutely. We thought. So Steve gave us her name last week.
Jeez, I can't even remember her name. That's awful, actually.
I know. Steve so also said that we had seen Kate's husband, son, and house.
We got reminded of all of that this week. I must have been on the phone when that was coming up.
Gone for a glass of water. So shout out to Steve. Barry Tucker says it better not be Ted. Rachel
better
says
better bloody not Barry.
Yeah, Rachel says that she listened to the podcast on a run this morning. She loved it, although she's always suspected Kate. Doesn't think she's 100% legit. Michelle says her brain isn't big enough to remember everything she needs to know. Might have to move work, friends, calorie content temporarily out of the brain for the next few weeks to free up memory. And hashtag bitches against Brexit say
obsessed.
Say all Ted's sayings are Northern Ireland gems delivered perfectly by the class Adrian Dunbar. Thanks to Martin and Laura and everyone else as well that sent in thoughts and theories this week.
Guys, I have some theories and thoughts.
Hit me.
Just a few random ones. I was rewatching the Milne's Coffee Up the Lane scene just for pure fun. It's season 3, episode 2, if anyone wants to look. And I might be reading too much into this, but he says to Kate, I noticed you're... Okay, I'll just start off this by saying I'm a little bit suspicious about Kate at the minute.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Same.
I rewatched season 4 and she just looked shady AF to me.
So he says to her, she says to him, I noticed your reaction to me in the interview. Did I say something that didn't hit the right note? He says, just you're a brilliant liar. That's all. It kind of unsettled me. And she just makes this weird face and walks off.
Suspicious.
I have another very similar situation to that. I'm rewatching season 2 at the minute. In season 2, episode 3, Hastings is meeting Mike Dryden about his debt problems. When he leaves the office, Les Hargreaves is sitting outside waiting to go in. Now, a lot of people think Hargreaves is H at the minute. He was in season 2 and season 4, and he is back in this season now working with Sam, who is Steve Arnott's ex-girlfriend, and he is interviewing people. I think he's with Serious Crime, so he's interviewing that Slater gang.
Yeah.
So AC12 are obviously involved with this organised crime gang stuff, but when they come in, they're interviewed then by Serious Crime, which is headed up by Hargreaves. So Hargreaves gives Hastings a hard time and he says, it must be great up there on that pedestal, all holier than thou, all the further to fall when the truth comes out. And that just made me feel a little bit scared about more stuff to come with Hastings. Now, he could have just been talking about the deaths and all this.
What do you guys think? How do you all personally feel about Hastings possibly being H at the moment? Like, how do you feel at the moment?
I don't think it's him.
Either do I.
I think it's been made too obvious.
But I think the whole thing is it's been made so obvious that it could be him.
Yeah, and Jeb Mercurio loves making people with death problems do bad things.
He does.
Absolutely.
And who's staying in a manky hotel room with no toilet and death problems and a big divorce fee over their heads?
It's Ted, okay? So he's broke, he's getting divorced, he's in the dingy hotel. This is what I wrote down my notes. Does that mean he's innocent because he's not getting money from the criminal gangs? Or is he an easy target for
them? Good point.
Oh yeah, really good point.
That's a really good
point. If he was taking money from the lads,
he wouldn't be in the hotel for that long.
How much did the coke cost though?
Or remember when he was interrogating Manit, was his aggression almost a hint at his own guilty conscience?
Rebecca, are these your opinions? They're absolutely
I read a
wonderful.
Lot of articles, okay? However, back in season 2, do you remember DCC Mike Dryden?
Couldn't forget him.
Yeah.
So he promised Ted a promotion.
Didn't
and
he have the affair with Lindsay Denton? Sorry to cut across you. That was him, wasn't
he did.
It?
Yeah. And he was doing deeds with your one Carly.
Carly Kirk.
Yeah. Who's still
he
MIA,
was
by the way.
Bent A.
Carly Kirk last seen looking wistfully at a ship. So
where's Carly? Is she H? Do you know what I mean?
Her and Jackie Laverty for Revivals season 5.
Absolutely. So Mike Dryden offered offered Ted a promotion and a pay rise if AC12 stopped looking into the plot of the murder of the paedophile mobster Tommy Hunter. But Ted refused that.
Heck, of course he did. It's Ted Hastings.
So he's not. He doesn't appear to be getting money from the gang. He didn't accept that money off that bent copper, Mike Dryden.
Yeah.
So
and those are the thoughts that help me sleep at night.
What's his motivation for being evil AF? You know.
Yeah, you're really, really right. And just before we finish theories, I just want to pop in one more thing. It's not related to any of that, but I was looking up IMDb, which is sometimes good for episode gossip. And next week, 5.2, there is a Steph Corbett credited. And Stephen Graham's character is John Corbett, and she is credited for the rest of the season. So his wife is coming into it.
Amazing.
Excellent.
Isn't that brilliant?
And so imagine if his wife was...
She probably doesn't know where the fuck he is.
Imagine if that was Kate and Kate's not been Kate the whole time and it's like a This Is England reunion.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
Is the wife sitting at home thinking her husband went undercover for a couple of months and he's been MIA for months murdering coppers? That's going to be amazing. So Steph Corbett, watch out for her next week.
Wow, I cannot wait for that. This leads us to a new segment which we absolutely are obsessed with the name of. It's called Lines of Juicy.
All those juicy Line of Judy lines.
So this week, I've picked out a couple of lines, which we've kind of pretty much already mentioned, to be honest, but we're just going to give them a bit more of a...
How could we not,
a bit more welly.
Brendan, we are going to ask you to do an accent.
No.
Brendan, I did it, my recap. Rebecca did a gorgeous Ted Hastings accent.
I'm a shite.
And the thing
honest.
Is, it's nearly always Ted that gets the lines, isn't it? So
belters on.
Yeah.
His delivery is just
it's
second
It's his delivery,
to none.
I agree.
So at the start of the episode, we're only a couple of minutes in, and one of my lines of juicy this week is Ted just simply saying, "Jesus, Mary and Joseph."
How many times have you heard like your granny or your mom saying that? Like,
and he meant it. You could hear the exasperation in the tone.
Yeah, head in the hands. Another line of juicy this week was in Da Club.
Oh, I love The Club. The music's a bit dodgy, though, wasn't it?
Music ever played in a club ever, and the tallest women they could possibly find for poor Stephen Graham to stand
for. Oh my God, they were hanging off his arms, weren't they?
And they were in like this, like the shittest VIP area you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
A line to come out of Da Club was when Lisa said to
Alice, "No, I can't do it."
John.
Alice. When Lisa said to John Corbett, "We're getting into business with bad people." And then John Corbett says, "We are bad people."
That was my standout.
I can't really do a Liverpool accent. I can say, "Liverpool." That's it.
We are bad people.
That was good, Brendan.
Oh, yeah. God,
went a bit silly there, did I?
Yeah.
Who are you, Christopher Maloney?
Shout out Christopher Maloney.
Obsessed.
And the line with the most juice this week has to go to Ted Hastings. When he was trying to find out where the...
He'd bloody had enough of Alison Pell.
Oh yeah, he was getting real thick with her, like.
So Alison was giving nothing away. He wanted to know where this undercover officer was. She was saying nothing. And he could kind of just tell by the look she was given. He went, "Missing for days? Nothing. Weeks? Ah, it's not months, is it?"
Yeah.
And then she still didn't say anything, and Ted went, "I didn't float up the lagging on a bubble."
Like, incredible.
Yeah.
So now it's time for What Jed Said, and it's a segment all about things that Jed Mercurio says about Line of Duty and just says in general.
I think it's my favourite segment because the name is amazing.
Yeah. What Jed Said. Oh. So, What Jed Said about the infamous line, "I didn't float up the lagging in a bubble," is basically, I spotted this article actually on Belfast Live, by the way, just to give him a shout out.
Oh, we went deep.
He said that the line was actually a result of an audience at an event held in Belfast while he was writing the series. Jed says that he was challenged by BBC broadcaster William Crawley to include a previously unused colloquialism in the new series. So Mercurio said, "We did an event at the MAC and I asked the audience to throw out some colloquialisms." Colloquialisms. Wow.
Nailed it.
"I have to say some were rubbish and there were a couple that were very good. And there was one that for me felt like it was so insane that it was irresistible."
Look at your man Crawley, knew how to work Twitter. He knew that was going to go viral if he put it in.
Absolutely.
Like, go find an unreal line from a load of Belfast people and we whack it in the show.
Yeah,
very clever.
I know that you were saying that
a lot of people thought that it was just ad lib and he just kind of threw that in there.
No.
But it was all carefully plotted by the masterful Jed Mercurio. Adore you, babe.
And I like that they say it up in Belfast because we have a version of it down in Dublin and it's "I didn't come up the Liffey on a Lilo."
Do we say that?
I thought you made that up. Is that
a
thing?
Joking me?
No, I've never heard anyone
say that. It must be
an
Northside thing, do you mind me?
Sure, Brendan's from me.
"I didn't come up the Liffey on a Lilo, Brendan."
I have never heard that.
Maybe you did then, Pep.
I'm going to start saying that. Excellent. So next week's episode, guys, what to expect. Now, we have learned our lesson from last week with the legal situation, and we aren't going to play the trailer because it does contain the music.
Yes, yeah,
but I do have a short
well,
recap.
Well, I hope underneath your recap.
I'm going to do a quick recap of the trailer for next week. It shows Ted ordering AC-12 to apprehend John Corbett, a.k.a. Stephen Graham, a.k.a. Bay, in Hannah's words. Ted's voice is heard saying, if you've ever asked yourself why we do this job, this is it. There's flashing shots of squad cars. Steve is spying on a potential suspect. Forensic investigators are at a crime scene. And then one high-ranking officer says, the extent of police corruption has been covered up. Ted replies, AC-12 will get to the bottom of it. The UCO in the OCG, John Corbett, says that he's got a plan, something big. And then, very dramatically, a balaclava man jumps up behind Steve before the final shot, which shows another or the same balaclava man firing a gun.
Don't you touch Steve Arnott. He just got his beard to a really great place.
Like, also, speaking on the abbreviations, do you know Sue Perkins, who used to present Bake Off? Or still presents Bake Off, does she?
No, not Sue anymore.
No.
Mary Berry's not on it. I'm not that interested. But Sue tweeted a really funny synopsis of the whole episode, and I feel like it just needs a shout out in this episode.
Do it.
And she wrote, missed line of duty, FYI, there's a UCO in the OCG who's MIA. While he's AWOL, DCI and DCS from AC-12 hunt shipment ED-905 from a HGV and trace the links from H to an ACC RIP. Welcome back.
Oh my God.
What a bloody tweet. That's like, so good. Incredible. I think it's gotten about 20,000 likes on Twitter. I was so impressed.
That is amazing.
But anyway, back to next week's episode. Guys, do you have any predictions?
Just while we're on next week's episode, when I was on IMDb there, they had a little bio first. So it said, a fresh police leak enables another audacious raid while Arnott's attempts to gather information put him in a dangerous situation. Now, if he's shot at...
No.
He being Martin Compston, did tweet or Instagram only like a couple of hours ago, and he said it was about the viewing figures. You know, they were massive. And he's like, you know, all is, you know, great in AC-12, but that won't last long. Or basically implied that it's going to be a sorrowful place.
A fresh police leak. So, Malhotra, do you know what I mean? Malhotra's gone now. So is Manise. So there's another leak.
The new character who ratted out Manit to AC-12 at the start of the episode, I wrote down her name earlier.
I have her name.
I know
here.
Who you're on about. Can't think of her name though.
Tatlin Sahoto.
Yeah, Tatlin. While she seemed to obviously be doing the right thing, there was something a bit kind of...
A few dodgy looks being flown around the office, wasn't
there? And
they
really did focus on her kind of being lurking in the background of the office.
That could have just been though because she knew Manit didn't report Malhotra as being connected.
I
don't know though.
I'm also dying to see more Ted's wife, the divorce. There's more of that going to be next week. I want to know more about Kate and the home situation. As you said, like, just kiss the husband on the cheek. It looked a bit more kind of friendly than anything else. And also the secret woman in the secret building and the secret office. What's her name again?
Alison Pell.
That, like,
iconic queen.
Yes. Iconic queen.
Speaking of Ted's wife, we actually got an email in from a girl called Aoife Harbison who sent us a lovely email.
This is a brilliant email.
She said, loving the podcast, especially hearing some of other lovely Irish people who are obsessed with Line of Duty. Thanks so much. I had a mad theory on Sunday straight after the first episode of Series 5. I'm really suspicious about Hastings' wife. We know that Hastings has separated with her, presumably because of his gambling problems and debt. But what do we know about her? How much does she know about what Hastings does in AC-12? I can imagine Hastings would be careful enough with confidential information. He does things to the letter of the law. But as we know in this show, you can be careful and still be manipulated or tricked. And now she has asked for a divorce, which pushes her further out of the spotlight, especially if Ted himself is coming under heavy criticism. Also, don't forget, her second name could also be Hastings. I've made a lot of wild assumptions, but basically, I'm excited to discover more about Ted's backstory and how it could come back to bite him. I'm so excited for next week and to hear your thoughts on the podcast. Aoife, I think you're onto something.
That is an unbelievable theory.
Now, Aoife, if you could have only seen Brendan's face.
Oh, he was yelping.
Jaw hit the floor. Yes. I'd say you're onto something
there. How clever is that?
Yeah. Yeah, big time.
What do we know about the wife? And then her picture's always in the frame.
Of course, she's Hastings as well. Of course,
she is. Shit. Watch this space.
And look at him lashing his card behind the bar there. Very quick to have a celebration and Barry Hilton, wasn't he?
Speechless.
Very quick for that celebration. Mm. Brush it under the carpet. Say nothing. Let's go. A few drinks and it'll be forgotten.
Yeah, I'm on Kate Fleming's side now, not having a blade of that until I have proof of what's going on.
So next week's episode is going to be lit. I do think that we need to give a little shout out to the incredible character that was Manit.
Manit Bindra. Yeah, so credit
loved
for
her.
Lovely.
Den of Geek for these gorgeous words on Manit. So on Sunday night, we watched her cruelly slain by John Corbett's men. Now, although we don't know she's dead and you can never be too sure in Line of Duty, I'm pretty confident to say she's a goner.
Yeah, we think she is dead, yeah.
A lot of people have died on that pier.
Which makes me sad because she wasn't really a bad person.
No, she wasn't at all.
No, she had a motive and it wasn't a bad motive. She was just trying to help someone in her family. And then at the end, when she tried to help AC-12, that's her other family in a way.
Exactly.
I read that article.
And even in season 4, like, she took early maternity to make sure that she wasn't available to hand over more information to be a moly mole. Like, she just wanted to not be bad.
Yeah, she's been in the show since 2016. She joined the cast season 3 episode 2, which I actually think is the episode where Dot chose the coffee at the wall. So that's just another reason to go back and watch that. Here's 5 reasons why we love her. So despite her better judgment, she always followed orders, kept things quiet for Dot, and passed information to Hilton. So she had this respect for officers, her senior, even when they were asking her to do things that were probably a little bit untoward. She was the one who made the connection between Danny Waldron and Sandview Children's Home in season 2. Like, she's been in the background doing the crazy amount of work.
And she was the one that, even though Dot was trying to keep it a secret, she was the one that told Steve about the letter being in the envelope.
Golf tee.
Yeah.
In season 4, she was the one, she was on to Huntley for Tim Ifield's murder. She was also the one who discovered that the lawyer who defended Michael Farmer was none other than the corrupt solicitor Jimmy Lakewell. And it was a key factor in exonerating Michael. She came to work during her maternity leave with one of her kids to figure out that Steve's car had fake plates on it when Dot stole it and murdered Lindsay Jensen in it. So she's essentially the reason Steve isn't in prison. She eventually ratted out Dot to Kate, leading her to have a breakthrough that he was in fact the caddy. And as the article said, she loved AC-12 like her family and they loved her too. And while Ted was very disappointed and angry with her on Sunday night, Kate and Steve were quick to stand up for their friend. And Manit Bindra will be missed in AC-12 and on our TV screens.
She will.
She will.
And that article is on Den of Geek and it's by Louisa Meller. It's actually a lovely piece if you want to
really,
go back and
really
read
nice.
The full thing. Because she's one of those people, and it happens in life, that are in behind the scenes. And, you know, they're part of the team, but they mightn't be a front runner. And she really did. She was the backbone at AC-12.
She was the absolute backbone. And while I was talking about that there and where she got murdered, I actually just remembered one thing that I should have put in my theory.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to go back. And Brendan, I can't wait to see her face when I reveal this, right? Let me just find it now.
Because you're like, you'll obviously not have thought of this because you're a tick.
Clue. Well, I had
you're
to read it on
tick.
The internet.
You're not tick. I had to.
You're not pick.
I've noticed the Hilton and Manit, the link in the second time I watched it. The first time I did not cop on to anything. I didn't realise it was Ryan. Didn't realise it was Steve's wife in the Tinder. Yeah. You know yourself. Like, you have to watch twice.
Oh, absolutely. Watch twice. Read a review. Yeah. Look at everything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So Manit is brought to the same dock and murdered where Hilton's body was discovered. Okay, Hilton was sitting up with a shotgun. In season 4, episode 6, Kate confirms that another body was discovered in the exact same place. That of Oliver Stevens Lloyd, a social worker trying to blow the whistle on child sexual exploitation.
In the home.
Yeah.
And she says to Hastings, his death was made to look like a suicide too. Hastings throws her a look and convinces her otherwise by saying, no, Hilton killed himself. He, quote, knew the game was up.
And Ted says in the episode that we just watched that the best thing that Hilton ever did was that he killed himself. And I'm like, hang on. We didn't think that he killed himself.
Hilton either went there to kill himself because he was involved in the killing of, what did I call your man, Oliver, was it? Oliver Stevens Lloyd, and he kind of thought that maybe that was a place to go. He was down there thinking about it. Or 3 separate people over 5 seasons in Line of Duty have been brought to one place and murdered.
That's more likely, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. What is going on down there?
Down at the docks.
So what? It's Sandsview. It's Hilton. It's Manise. It's, you know, the caddy. It's Tommy.
Jackie Laverty. I'm telling you.
She's coming back.
Well, she bits is. Of her is coming back.
And Ryan's back as well. And that's the and thing Ryan's I love about well. This series is it does feel like the loose ends are starting to be, you know, wrapped up into a nice package that's going to end with something terrible happening. So, guys, we got through a lot there.
Yeah. Well done on the recap, seriously.
Thank Absolutely. You, I'm never yeah. doing it again.
You've noticed so many things that I missed. So well done, Hannah. I mean, that took a lot of effort and time and blood, sweat and tears. So that's it for this week's episode of Shrine of Duty. A massive thank you to everyone who has listened, shared and gotten in touch with us so far.
You guys are the best.
We've already yes, given a special thanks. Shout out to Steve Wright from Birmingham. There's also two fan accounts on Instagram which have been very supportive of our content and our podcast. Line of Duty Fan and Line of Duty Fans. We really appreciate it. And if you have a thought or theory, make sure you email it to shrineofduty@gmail.com. Make sure you rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and follow us on Instagram and Twitter. We are at Shrine of Duty. On Sunday night, we are going to be live tweeting the shit out of Line of Duty Season 5 Episode 2. And it's going to be great. In the words of Ted Hastings, we didn't float up the Lagan in a bubble.
No, we drifted up the Liffey on a Lilo, apparently.
Shrine of Duty.
There's only one thing I'm interested in. One thing only. And that's bent covers.
Shrine of Duty. The official, unofficial podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.